Hi, and welcome to Rescuing Churches. If you love pastoral life, ministry, and church revitalization, this is a great place to join the discussion about why the local church matters, how we can help the ones that are in decline, and be an encouragement to their pastors along the way. We'll even get to hear stories from special guests about what God is doing in the church at large. This show is hosted by two guys who serve the local church and is for everyone within the local church. Thanks for tuning in today. Let's go.
Welcome to Rescuing Churches, the official podcast of 614 Ministries. I'm Stan, the executive director, and we have a new format we're going to try. I'm really excited about this. I'm joined today with two good local friends who are also pastors and who are also bivocational. And then I thought about this, guys, the other day. We're also all three lawn guys. So we used to cut grass like a lot. So I'm joined by Caleb Howell, pastor of Howell Baptist Church in Loosedale, Mississippi, just up the road from us. And then Victor Herman is with us. And I'm very excited that he is the pastor at First Baptist Church in Chickasaw. Chickasaw First Baptist, right? First Baptist.
I think it's First Chickasaw. Baptist Chickasaw.
You Baptist guys wreck my brain with that stuff. Is it First Baptist Chickasaw?
Yep. Took me a while too. FBC.
That's right. Yep. FBC.
That would be the correct order from the Baptist world.
You always do First Baptist City.
Correct.
All right. See, new podcast format, and we've already learned something, guys. That's awesome. So really excited to have these two guys. We've got a young pastor who's learning, and we've got a middle-aged pastor who's actually schooled me a little bit and well-trained and well-learned, and then the old guy in the room that's just tired. But I'm excited to bring these. We've got some new subjects and topics we want to bring into play, and, you know, we took probably 6 months or so, 8 months off of our podcast for a while. Josh and I have been working real hard with a lot of stuff at 614, and we're just catching up. And so I thought it'd be a good time to start our podcast over again. You guys that are listening or tuning in, we'd love for you to like this, share this. Definitely send us some feedback if you have that. So, and today, guys, we're going to be talking about pastoral time, the time that the pastor spends during the week, and your own priorities and how you schedule those or set those or how you figure those out, all that crazy stuff. And it is crazy, crazy town world for all of us. And reminder, all of you guys that are listening, we're all bivocational. Really, both of you guys to me are almost trivocational in everything you do. And you throw in family, you throw in other events that you're involved in, and your schedule just gets crazy. So, Caleb, I'm going to let you go first. Just give me a quick intro. Tell them just a little bit about yourself and what you do besides pastor of the church, what else you do. And we'll do the same with Vic.
I've been pastoring Howell Baptist Church for a little over 2 years now, after I spent about 12 years doing interim pastoring and student ministering around, 23 years of ministry experience altogether. And, right now, I pastor Howell Baptist Church. I'm also co-owners of a barbecue restaurant in downtown Agricola, Mississippi, with my brother and my family. I've been working with family business for years, and we've just recently launched our barbecue place. But I also work with the county as an election commissioner. I tell people all the time I enjoy that, but that's where my health insurance comes from.
Right.
So, yes, try vocational.
Well, and really, your family business, are y'all still doing the vegetables?
We're still doing the vegetables.
So that's a fourth, that's another company.
Correct, correct. So the barbecue and the vegetables,
all works together, yeah.
all works together, and it's a crazy time at times scheduling.
I was going to say.
Scheduling.
Yeah. And y'all do catering and all kinds of stuff. And
more and more catering and more time just right. Trying to figure out. But God's good. We're hiring some people to take some load off of me and my brothers, bivo for the first time, not in ministry, but in mechanicking.
Carrying two different roles, yeah.
running a business and running a business.
Right, right. Another business.
Two business.
Yeah, so Caleb stays real busy. And Victor, tell him what you do, family.
Bivocational. So, yeah, I have a family. I have three kids that are at the house, basically, and I'm pastoring First Baptist, but also at the same time restarting First Baptist. So we've been locally trying to impact and affect the city there. We also involved with still fully involved with Testimonies on the Lawn, co-ed. We haven't been having it at the church recently because the church is also dealing with a lot of massive overhaul construction. So been trying to fit all of that into one show because I've been playing contractor, also trying to save the church as much money as possible. So I've been handling all the contracts, all the contractors to handle all of that. That's been a I would say, I don't even want to say part-time job. It's been a full part-time
job. Yeah.
Just handling all of that.
But you're not getting paid to do that.
No, I'm not getting paid to do that. That's solely for the church.
Doing that for fun.
Yep, for the fun. So thank God I have a little background in construction. So just trying to keep the church from getting ripped off as much as possible.
Yeah.
And
then your other income comes from?
That would be cutting grass.
Yeah.
I also have a full-time grass business, which I have actually cut way back. Mm-hmm. Way back. I think at one point in time last year, I had about 85 accounts and was still taking on accounts. I don't know why.
It's hard to turn down.
I hadn't quite figured out that I had bitten off more than I could chew.
Sure.
And I was at that, I was definitely at that stage where I either need to hire a bunch.
Yeah.
And then also that creates more problems.
Yeah,
about managing more people.
It's way easier doing lawn care by yourself.
Yeah, so I was at that.
All three of us get that.
Yeah. In lawn care, to hire and add, you have to double.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. So I got a good friend of mine, Travis Wilson. Shout out, Travis, if you hear this podcast. He's big-time grass man around Mobile, Alabama. He's got two, three trucks running all the time. So luckily, I was in contact with him. I got to watch his life, and before last season was over, I said, no.
Little mentorship.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah, a little mentorship. Yeah.
Yep. So
good.
Once I got hired by the church, I saw God's showing me now what the future is really going to look like and what it needs to be. But I'm thankful for, doing all that and having 90 customers and dealing with 90 different people and serving people and trying to be the best that I can be in their lives. Mm. For the service that I offered.
Sure.
Because it's kind of helped me a lot, pastoring.
Yeah, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit about where we're at. Yeah. So.
One of the things I say as a bonus for the bivocational pastors is we're out in the community meeting people that aren't churched.
Yeah.
Most of them aren't churched at all. And I've done three funerals in my lifetime as a yard man, not a pastor.
Mm.
They didn't have a church.
Yeah.
And when that elderly person died, they said, would you you loved our dad and you're a pastor, would you do it? And I'm like, yeah, I'll do that. I actually led one to the Lord, so that was a really great one to do.
Big time.
Yeah. So,
big time.
But let's take some time and just discuss our time as pastors. And when I was in Bible college, they used to say the average church pastor gets 30 to 35% of his own schedule, and then everything else is influenced by church life and church events and people of the church. I don't know what the stats are today. I haven't been to college in forever, so, but I'm pretty sure it's real similar to that, probably. What I want to do first, guys, is ask you guys, what do you consider your priority time slots for the church? Now, we have family time slots. We have rest time slots and those kind of things, and we can talk about that in another podcast. I want to ask you just church-wise, what do you consider to be your priority time slots? Like, I got to guard this, make this happen. This is priority. So what's your priorities? Caleb, what do you got?
Of course, preparing for services, and that takes up about half of my time that I can spend with the church.
Mm-hmm.
But that also includes talking to my music leadership team,
right?
Working with them, sharing with them, communicating with sound if I need to communicate with them.
Yeah, so not just study time, but you're actually interacting with other staff.
Not just study, but interacting with other
servants
staff
and volunteers.
Mm-hmm. But then it's week to week on what other time I can have. Thankfully, I'm at a small enough church right now that I don't spend too much hospital time or or anything of that nature. Mm-hmm. But I try to make 20 contacts a week. 15 contacts is at the restaurant or at a gas station or going through Dollar General. I consider those contacts where I stop and I check on somebody and I intentionally talk to them about Christ or I intentionally talk to them about church or something of that nature. But I try to make 5 intentional contacts during the week, taking somebody out to lunch, which is a really good time for me. Because I have to eat lunch anyway.
it's
getting 2 things done at one time. But
sure.
Either taking somebody to lunch, visiting somebody in their home, going to somebody's job, something along those lines. And then you got the special events, which is just kind of for us at Howell. It's kind of seasonal. But we have our 3rd annual community cookout coming up in October.
Oh, I'll be there.
Yes, and I've already spent, probably last week, I spent 5 hours working on that, just making phone calls, talking to people, lining things up. We're going to do catfish this year. We've been doing barbecue the past 2 years.
Yeah.
I don't know why I don't want to do barbecue. Yeah, I mean, I do it all the time.
That you do it every day, every single day. Yeah.
But, you know, just talking to my contacts for fish frying and trying to plan a fishing trip so I can actually catch the fish for
you want to catch the fish.
Well,
as many as you can.
With catfish at $90 a box, I kind of want to go catch them.
That'd be good,
You know, I can spend $90 and have a good time while doing it.
That's right.
But that community cookout for us, which we average 15 people in service, that cookout for us is a big deal. We can have up to 100 people there, and we're trying to get it flowed to the point where we have enough food for everybody, but we can spend enough time outreaching to everybody all at the same time. It just takes work to do all of that. And other ministries that we're rebuilding as well, just creating a culture of where we do missions together.
Takes
up a lot of our time too.
Good. So your schedule includes preparing for your services. That's your study time, and working with the teams that are involved in that. Then you're going to do some contacts during the week. You're going to make sure you're in contact with folks, and then you're going to have some community outreach as well. You're planning some community outreach. The planning itself takes time. I get that totally.
And some weeks I don't have to spend any time on the community outreach part.
So it's flexible.
It's flexible, and that works really good being in business for myself.
Yeah, you only have 4 other jobs, so totally get that.
And other things. Sometimes I can say, okay, this can
wait.
This can wait.
Yeah, put it off till next week. I got you. Pastor Vic, so what's your planning like, or how do you do it? Just what do you consider your priority time slots? I know your family's in there.
Personal
time of God.
Let me just tell you what God showed me over this last year. And that was the reason why I mentioned, you know, I was doing 85 yards last year. I give away like 30 or 35 yards over the summer, maybe more than that actually now. The way I used to look at it was it'd be family first. That's how family first. This is how I was trying to time everything, right? Family first and then ministry, but what I was doing was looking at my business as in this is family. I've got to make sure that I've made this money
for my family.
But the problem with that was I wasn't trusting God in it. I kept biting off more than I can even do, more than I can even chew, in the context of I need to feed my family. And what God has showed me this last year is family and then his business. You understand? Now, in the midst of that, that is also time with him. So it'd be family, you know, and time with him is, got to have that first.
Absolutely.
That's at the top.
Yeah, if we're not fed by him.
I can't even love my family.
Right. Right. So, agreed.
Now, a lot of pastors, I've heard a lot of pastors say, you've got your personal time with God and your sermon preparation is supposedly different, but I am absorbing everything that I'm preaching every week. My personal time with God, I mean, literally, my sermons have dealt with me.
Yeah.
In a major way.
But I want to say, and Kayla, you're probably about to say the same thing I am. Yeah. Part of that's because you're so young in your faith.
Right.
You've been saved how many years?
Probably, 7 years?
Yeah.
Six years.
And so actually, everything you do, your own, if you were just reading the Bible for yourself, it's going to be training you.
Yeah.
But then you're studying the word for your congregation, it's training you.
Right.
Still, you're still soaking it all in.
Right.
Now, there are times, and I'm sure you're with this, Dan, there are times where I'm working on a sermon and I'm like, hold up, God's dealing with me on this. Yeah. And my sermon prep does become my time with
absolutely.
God.
Absolutely.
It absolutely does, because sometimes I've put a sermon on shelf for a week saying I got to finish dealing with this myself before I preach it.
But let me flip the table around, old guy at the table, because I was told the same thing for years. Mm-hmm. But like you, in my younger years of Bible study, in my younger years of learning and studying four sermons, the sermons were what I needed, right? Mm-hmm. So like you, I'm going, well, it's all the same. It's all the same. But now that I'm older, I see a difference. Because I'm older, I can actually almost not fake my way, but I can get through something without it being hitting me like it used to. Because I've already researched that. I know that stuff.
Yeah.
What can happen for me, just flip the table around, is I can be in my morning devotions, right? I'm reading something for my devotions, a G. Campbell Morgan sermon, some of my favorites to read these days. I can just be reading something, and it just wear me out. And I'm going, I got to write a sermon on that. You know, I need to put notes on that on paper, keep taking it in personally and dealing with it. But now I've got to go over and shift eventually. This needs to be something, because it's passionate. When you're passionate about a text, it's time to put it in front of your congregation when it fits in your series or whatever you're doing. So, so it can go both ways.
Amen. Right. So time with God, right? Yeah. First.
Mm-hmm.
And that could look like me just reading my Bible, like you're saying, or mostly everything at this day and age for me is sermon prep, because everything, it just needs to get in me. But the Lord showed me that to trust him, to take care of his business. So I started getting rid of all my accounts that were further away than 15 minutes from the church, everything. I got rid of all my Westmobile accounts. I got rid of everything. I've now gotten rid of everything in Midtown. I've kept all my business and everything I'm going to do circled right there around the church so that at the drop of a hat, I can be at the church for whatever I need to do.
Yeah.
And just trust God in the process. Yeah, I lose some time. Yes, I've lost some lots of income, but I am growing to the point now where it's like, Lord, I just want to lean on you and trust in you, and I know that if I take care of your business, you'll take care of me.
Yeah, and that's good.
So
that's good. That's a well-planned schedule right there. So what consumes the biggest part of your schedule during the week in everything you're doing? What's your biggest time consumer? Business, church preps, and all that stuff. What's the biggest consumer for you guys?
I think it depends on what week it is. Yeah. I'm just being honest. The average week, because our business is new, we opened up January 12th. The average week, the business takes up the majority of the time.
Yeah, big chunk.
But I can be in the kitchen, and my mind and my soul and my brain could be somewhere else.
Right.
And, and that's a lot of sermon prep to me.
Well, let's talk about lawnmower riding. All three of us have done lawn care.
Oh, yeah.
Lawn care. You can prepare a good sermon. If you get that verse stuck in your head, man, and you're riding somebody's lawn back and forth, especially a good size one, right?
Yep.
Your sermon prep time, even when you're weed eating, because it's all, that's all.
Weed eating, I'm too busy wiping my forehead.
That's right. You weren't the weed. You always hired the guy to do
it. I always hired the guy that weed eating. Now, I trained them.
Yeah.
But once they were trained, they're
good, yeah.
But, yeah, you're on that lawnmower, and a line, a verse comes to your mind.
Yep.
Song comes to your mind. Or a line that you just really want to stick the landing on in your sermon because you know that's where God's working. That's the candy stick.
I've actually pulled that mower up and hit the stop button on it long enough to get my phone out and make a note because I'm like, I don't want to forget this, man. This is really meditatively good. So even in our bivocational worlds, you know, especially the kinds that we have, you're in the kitchen, and some of that's routine for you, right? Muscle memory routine. Kind of just working through the day, you can come up with good sermon stuff.
Well, this morning I was in Joshua 1 as we're going through the Old Testament and Howell. And in Joshua 1, God tells Joshua, your word always has to be on your lips, not in your pocket, on your phone, not even in your brain,
yeah,
but on your lips.
Oh, that's good. Man, that's good.
So
I bought a 16 gigabyte voice recorder. I just bought it 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I keep it in my pocket. So I'll hit that. I'll stop the lawnmower or stop the weed eater or whatever and jump in while it's fresh on the brain. Because I'm telling you, I'll be in mid-text trying to text it.
Mm-hmm.
Get half of it.
right.
So while it's fresh on the brain, I'm now recording.
Speak it out. I've done it.
And then as long as I speak it out, I can tweak it later to how it needs to, you know. Or I may play it back and record it every time I jump in the truck throughout the day.
Right. For all you guys.
It's so good.
All you guys that have listened to this for a long time, you know that I love Evernote as an app, a note-taking app. And Evernote has a way to hit record and record your stuff, and it can convert it to text if you want it to. But it has a way to do that. Mm. So I'll do the same thing, driving down the road, sitting on my, you know, when I'm in on the mower or whatever, I'll stop and hit record and record that note of what I'm thinking so I don't lose it.
But I need to add, we've all talked about how we're spending our time right now. In the past, in other ministry contexts, it really depends on the church you serve at.
That's correct.
Not saying your church dictates it as far as they tell you, but you get a feel for what's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
As a student minister, I was taught that if I'm in my office more than 20% of the time, I was failing.
Mm-hmm.
I had to be in that school.
Right.
I had to be with those parents. I had to be at the ball field. I had to be there, which if you're full-time, your sermon prep and all mainly is done in your office. So that was 20% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, and then, but rebuilding churches, as I've been involved in, revitalization. You got to be door to door.
Yeah, and in people's homes and meet them for lunch, like you're saying.
And when I say door to door, in businesses, in homes, at lunch.
Meeting the community where they are.
Wherever they are.
Right. You have to be meeting the community where they are. One of the things that, you know, to echo off what you're saying, as a senior pastor, when I got here in 2000, so I've been here 23 years now, when I got here, running bivocational, I got kids at home in private school and kids in going into college. And so I'm running 1,000 miles an hour trying to, you know, minister here and keep up with our needs of our family and all that stuff. And very much like Victor, running 100 miles an hour, trying to keep all that balanced. Right. And I remember one Sunday after church, one of my elders that teaches a Sunday school class in the very room we're doing the podcast, said, can I talk to you for a minute? And he looked really discouraged. And I said, sure. And he said, my class, which is all the senior citizens, like all of them, my class is very concerned that you aren't in the office and you aren't answering the phone when they call the church. And they want to know what you're doing. And so it was one of those moments where I was like, I'm dealing with an older church family, right? Older model. And in the past, the founding pastor of this church that, you know, he's literally my pastor when I was a kid, very much godly man. He lived across the street in the parsonage, and 8:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, he's in his office and he's there till noon, and he's at lunch across the street and he's back, or he's at a hospital, or he's in somebody's home. And that's how their brains saw the ministry working. And a minister is here, not anywhere, not paying you to be anywhere else. Now, in their minds, they might have thought that was a full-time salary that they were paying back in 2000, but it's never been a full-time salary. I've always been part-time. So I've always had to have another income. So the salvation for me was to say to my elder, how about I print my calendar out and you look over it and you just show them. I keep a very accurate calendar in Gmail of what all I do. I did these yards. I did this hospital visit. I did this counseling. I was on the phone with this person for this. I keep all that pretty detailed. And so I said, I'm that guy. So I said, how about I just print, I can pull that up on my computer and just print that right out for you. And it's, you know, Gmail's color coded. So it's all color coded. My yards were green, mm-hmm. you know, church was blue kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, and then my family time's all on there, you know, and it's very little family time in a couple of weeks I printed for him, which was a note to me. But when I handed it to him, I said, why don't you just read through that and you can tell him, you just tell him what I did. So he came back and made more copies of it, showed it next Sunday, never had another conversation with him because they're like, well, he's doing something. You know, at least he's busy. But again, they were in an old school thinking, right? And so sometimes we have to look at our congregation and help them understand the time. And I'm working with a couple of churches now that are looking for pastors. And one of the questions I have for their pulpit teams, that's why I want to do this podcast. One of the questions I have for them is, what are you going to expect of your pastor? How much time do you plan for him to be in his office or available? Are you going to give him a day off? Does he get an actual day off? I've never had a church say, you know, and I've only had three, but I've never had a church say you're always off on this day, or hey, on this day, we'll rotate the phone, your phone. If it's a church call, rotate it to this elder, this deacon, this person, right? It's never been real for me. So you're really never off in a lot of ways. And that becomes a challenge to our time, right? And it can consume your time if you're not careful.
Now, I have an advantage over both you guys in the fact that I don't have a wife.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have kids.
Right, right.
I don't have all that. But what I've noticed is, even at that,
you only have four jobs though.
Right, so. Right. But what I've noticed, even with that, is sometimes I look at my family, and of late, it's been my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had two of my closest friends come to me the other day, and they said, "Where have you been?"
Hmm.
You know, and I'm like, "Well, you guys see me at the restaurant." They're like, "Yeah, but we got to spend time. You got to spend time with us." I mean, they held me accountable that and kidnapped me the next night, and mm-hmm. we went and ate at
right.
One of my favorite places and all. So even as a single minister,
sure.
You can neglect your family.
You have a family. That's right.
You have a family.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very important that you take care of yourself.
Right, right. Victor, what would you say are some of the biggest time, even if it's surprise time, but what consumes your time during the week that's hard?
Right now, it's just grass cutting and building.
The construction thing. The construction thing.
You got to think.
Wearing you out.
We started out with a $6.5 million building.
Right.
That is not, in my mind, if God called me to go start a church, not in my mind, there's no way I start out with something that big. I would have much rather had a little tin.
Shed.
Yeah.
Start with a shed.
With a nice acoustics in it.
Sure.
3.5-ton air conditioner.
Yeah.
You know, not a 40-ton chiller.
Yeah.
And another 25-ton air conditioner and at least 10 5-ton ACs on the property. I mean, it's massive.
Yeah. So
really
little context for you, and we'll do a podcast. The three of us will do a podcast on your church here real soon.
Yeah.
Just a little context. Victor took over First Baptist Chickasaw.
FBC.
Got that right.
Yep.
He took over First Baptist Chickasaw. We 614 was helping them through their crisis. They were down to about six people. Mm-hmm. It's a church sanctuary that seats 1,600.
Yeah.
Mammoth, balcony structured,
yeah.
Old brick building,
old school, got
a gymnasium. Yeah, got a gymnasium. Got a an education wing that make you could put Chickasaw High School in it if you had to. So
middle school.
I mean, and he's running 40 people there, 50, 60 on a really good Sunday, 70 maybe. So he's, but we've built it back up and we've seen a lot of growth, but it's not nearly, and it's never going to be. I don't think God ever wants it to be again what it was back in those days when it was running 1,000. So, but the challenge becomes, like you're saying, you've got all these, it's a giant financial hole. Now God blessed y'all with a gift to help with a bunch of it. So you're able to do the construction, but it is now it's becoming your biggest time consumer.
Biggest time consumer. Mm-hmm. Cause we, and you got to think too, we are now, we're hooking up 2023 parts to 1958 parts. So now we're literally having to redo the entire thing. It's not like a remodel. It's a reconstruction. It's,
starting over.
It basically is starting
deconstruction,
over.
Reconstruction.
Yeah. So all the electrical components that we're hooking up to the, all the old electricity components is we're having issues with everything. So that's my biggest time consuming right now.
Yeah.
Dealing with that. Somebody's got to be there who knows what the issues are, who knows how to communicate with these guys, who knows how to speak for the church. And we're not there yet where we have a bunch of men who can do that.
I got you. So let's take a last few minutes of our podcast now and talk about, I want to just talk about, as a pastor in today's culture, we need to drive a lot more of our schedule where we can. The church is going to demand some of it, a hospital visit. We had a man this week, had a double stroke on Monday, one of our elders. And, so all hands on deck, caring for him. Praise God, he's doing fine. Caring for him, and then his Christian business here in town. We actually tried to pick up some pieces with that. Our church family works for him, so we're kind of all over helping with that out at Chickasaw High School, helping with some of the ministry he'd agreed to do. We had to help cover for that. So my week this week got thrown way upside down into what I would normally schedule for myself, just to cover some of that. That just happens sometimes. But here's what I want to say: when you can, as a pastor, schedule and build your own schedule. You should block out mornings or evenings or middays or wherever your schedule is. Block out certain times that are you and God time, you and study time, you and ministry time. And then I want to say, I think that the best priority for the current church, is as a pastor, you need to have you and discipleship time. You need to be mentored by somebody and mentoring somebody. And I'm seeing a lot of pastors who aren't discipling. And that's going to hurt the big picture of the church. It has for years, and it's just going to continue to hurt the church. And so I want to throw in, as we finish our pastoral time talk, that our all of us as pastors, the number one priority Jesus gave us was go and make disciples. And so I need to be a disciple of somebody. I need somebody mentoring me and talking with me. But then I also need to flip that around and say, I have several men. I think a pastor should be doing several men, but at least one that I am pouring myself into, even if it's an unsaved man, somebody from your business or whatever, somebody from your bivocational work, pour into him so that you can bring him into the gospel. And then you're going to pour into him even more, and then you're going to teach him to pour into somebody else, because a disciple is a discipler. And I just really believe that part of what we need to look at our calendars with now is say, how much time am I spending discipling, right? Who am I discipling, and how much time am I spending developing men for the ministry of my local church? These men are going to lead the church. They should be leaders. So I need to pour into them. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Amen. So what do you guys think about that?
We have an associate pastor role at Howell Baptist Church, and Andrew Moats, our associate pastor. I couldn't ask for a better guy than Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
But one reason I asked Andrew, and when God calls him somewhere else, the next guy that I asked to serve as associate pastor, it's a volunteer position. The whole point is to disciple a new pastor.
Hmm.
If Andrew came to me today and said, we're leaving because I'm going to go pastor this church or that church, I would celebrate that mission accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go find somebody as green as a gourd.
Right. I got a couple guys I'm going to send you.
That's not the only guy I'm discipling.
Right.
But that's part of what we do every week at Howell, amen, I believe, is we're training up a pastor.
Amen. Amen.
Yep. Yep. So week after week, we've got three or four believers, men who we are training into leadership positions in the church. We've inducted, you know, three deacons this year. Praise the Lord. That's such a good, it's good to start having men alongside mm-hmm. of me.
Bringing them in.
Doing this, you know, especially when you started out with none.
Right.
Or one, excuse me. Right. Start out with one. Thank God.
Brother Troy.
Thank God. God left one there.
Yeah, that's right.
And so three or four men, discipling them into leadership positions in the church. There's always one or two guys that mm-hmm. I'm pouring the gospel into, and I'm reaching for lost people.
Right.
So there's always – that's key. So that takes a lot of time, too.
Here's the final word on that, I think. As a pastor, I've always felt like the Sunday morning service was my priority, and I've learned at 63 years old, 62 years old, it's not. My priority is discipling those three men, four men at my church, five men. Mm-hmm. Discipling other men is the highest priority I should have. The Sunday morning message will not reach and impact as many people as those little small groups with four men. It just won't. It won't have the resonant long-term ministry effect of the church. And that's the big part to learn. So I think we should spend our time doing that more than anything, even though we're still studying for the other stuff.
Amen.
So, amen?
That's right.
And you guys are awesome. So it's been awesome having y'all pay attention and listen to us today on our podcast. We really want to encourage you to share this with others. Thanks for being here. 614ministries.org. If you want some more information, reach out to us through the contacts.
You've been listening to Rescuing Churches, a discussion for the local church and its leaders. This show is brought to you by 614 Ministries. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at 614 Rebuild and visit us online at 614ministries.org. Also, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Thanks for listening.